Okay, so good to have you guys here tonight. Came through the rain, so brownie points for everyone. Pastor and his lovely wife are away for a few days, so he's asked me to share a little bit with you. So let's turn to Psalm chapter 85, verse 6 first. You know, I've heard it said, you know, revival isn't in the Bible. You know, the word revival isn't in the Bible. Well, if you take the Bible as a whole, one of the underlining themes through the entire Bible is revival. It's like a theme. So we're going to look at some of that scripture today. Psalm 85, 6. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? So that's close. Revival. Israel is crying out to be revived. They know that they're not revived. And so let's turn to Psalm 107. Verse 3, or maybe verse 2, or okay, start from the beginning. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their souls fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. And that's what we're building here at the Prayer Center of Immokalee. We're building a city of habitation, a place where the Lord dwells, that people can come and not only experience his presence and feel his presence. And so let's turn to Psalm 144, verse 12. So you can see this is a psalm of David. So David is already having a heart for revival, and because all of this was in the Psalms. But in verse 12, he says that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yes, happy is that people whose God is you, Lord. We are a happy people, Lord. But right here in verse 13, he's talking about the riches that come in. And that's going to be an underlining theme in a lot of these scriptures that we read tonight, that there's a storehouse, and that our converts, may bring forth thousands and ten thousands. So that sheep just, hallelujah, Jesus. And our oxen are strong to labor. The oxen represent the laborers. You know, the church, the body of Christ, we're strong to labor. There's no breaking in or going out. That reminds me a lot of a scripture we're going to read in Joel chapter 2. There's no breaking of ranks. And there's no complaining in our streets. Hallelujah. We have the word of God in our mouth, the praises of God in our mouth. And so there's no complaining because we're busy praising him and worshiping him. So let's look up Psalm 102. Verse 13. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. For thy servants take pleasure in her stones and favor the dust thereof. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. So hallelujah, that's another picture, another portrait of revival that David is written down. You know, he sees, he has a prophetic voice, and he's showing, not only prophesying the first book of Acts, but prophesying the second book of Acts. And that's what we are believing for. We're believing for that second book of Acts. All right, so let's turn to Joel chapter 2. This familiar part of scripture. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. Hallelujah. So let's turn back to Joel chapter 2, verse 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess. A day of clouds and of thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains. A great people. And a strong, and there have they not been ever the like, neither shall they be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as a garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses. And as horsemen, so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap. Like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble. As a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall march every one on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For he is strong that executeth his word, and for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all of your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. See, before we become that great and mighty army, we have to turn to him with all of our hearts, and fast, and weep, and mourn, and rend our hearts, and not our garments, and turn unto the Lord our God. For Lord, you are gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great mercies. And you repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, give not thine heritage to reproach. And the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? See, that's what we don't want the heathen to say of us. Where is their God? We have to show demonstration. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John shall return. And that's what we have to show the world. That's what we're believing for. So I want to share some of these passages with you to encourage you and say, you know what? We are on the right path. And I also want to share with you my testimony. I know I've done this before, but I just want you to be encouraged that, you know, this is the right way. We're doing the right things. When I was 14 years old, I was on a trip to Mexico, and we were staying at this place. It was like a mountain range, this hotel, and I was on this big veranda, like balcony thing, and I walked over to the railing, and I started talking to the Lord. I said, Lord, this is so beautiful, and I'm so thankful, Lord. This is so beautiful, and I just started to worship, and you know when the Lord comes, he came, and I have my eyes closed, and I know he's there, and this single tear comes out of my eyes, rolls down my cheek, and I instantly went into the spirit, and I had this vision of this eye drop falling off of my cheek and falling down into the rocks below, into the mountain range below, into the valley, and it landed on a rock. And it met up with another drop of water and then met up with a lot of drops of water into little tributaries. And then these tributaries joined into a mighty river. And that mighty river crashed into this huge ocean. And I saw in the spirit a sea of people, just many different kinds of people, different races and different creeds, and just a sea of people. And I came out of that vision, and the Lord said, I'm going to use you in the last day revival. Now, I was only 14, and I had never heard the word revival. I was a good Methodist girl. We went to Methodist church. Even though John Wesley and Charles Wesley were baptized in the Holy Ghost and brought the Holy Ghost into that ministry and started that ministry with everyone baptized in the Holy Ghost. They had lost it by the time I was a Methodist. And I had never heard the word revival. Of course, just by definition, I knew what it meant, someone that was dead, revived. But it wasn't like I sat under this ministry and, you know, I had just nothing. There was nothing for the Lord to work with. It was just out of the blue. And so you're in the right place because the Lord is going to come. And he has told Pastor that. He has come and visited Pastor right up here and said that he was going to visit Immokalee. So that we are in the right place. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 60. Now these two chapters, 60 and 61, this is, if anyone says the Bible doesn't say anything about revival, you just tell them Isaiah chapter 60 and 61. It spells it all out. Arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at that side. I love that scripture right there because it's talking about disciples. You know that vision that Dave had with the warehouse and the mattress in the corner and the roaches on the little baby because we neglected to bring up the babies and to disciple them. But here the Lord prophesies and he says, your daughters shall be nursed at thy side. That means they are given nutrition. They're raised up. They're discipled. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. I love that scripture because it reminds me of that that vision I had, that a sea of people. And right here it says, a sea of people are converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee. The dromedaries of Midian, Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. Hallelujah. So anytime you're thinking about, you know, you see on TV, you know, the people wearing the robes and, you know, they're angry and they've got guns and stuff, you can just think of this scripture. They shall be converted unto thee, and the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. Hallelujah. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Naboth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar. And I will glorify the house of my glory. Hallelujah. That's the Father talking. He says, I will glorify the house of my glory. Oh, hallelujah. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows? Let's skip to verse 18. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders. But thou shalt be called thy wall salvation and thy gates praise. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for the brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. But the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God, and thy God thy glory. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself. For the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Hallelujah. The days of our mourning shall be ended. When we come in here and we see Maroon Typhoon, and we're talking to all our loved ones and the people that used to be here, you just want to mourn. But the day is coming. Our mourning shall be ended. Hallelujah. Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. Oh, this is a good one. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. And I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. He doesn't say in my time, in his time. Oh, so we need to get ready, church. We need to get ready. Because the little ones, they become a thousand. And the strong ones, they become a whole nation. Oh, hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of the Lord our God, to comfort all that mourn. Hallelujah. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. Hallelujah. The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. How many people do you know that have the spirit of heaviness? They're anxious. They have anxiety. They have depression. Oh, but hallelujah. They're given the garment of praise, that they might be called trees of righteousness. Hallelujah. The planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. And the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. And that's talking about riches. I mean, what are the Gentiles, what do they glory in? They glory in their money. And the Lord says right here, ye shall glory in that also. But how do men call you ministers of our God? Think about that. It says that men in italicized, but you can think of that as the heathen. Our reputation precedes us. Our reputation becomes ministers of our God. Why? Because they've seen the power of God demonstrated. They've seen Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John return. And they call you ministers of your God. Hallelujah. For your shame, you shall have double. Oh, hallelujah. For me personally, I confess this over myself every day. I say it in present tense. You know, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And I keep it in that same tense. For your shame, that's the Lord talking, but for my shame, I shall have double. And for my confusion, I shall rejoice in my portion. Therefore, in my land, I will possess the double, and everlasting joy will be upon me. Hallelujah. For the Lord loved judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offerings, and I will direct their work in truth. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and their seed shall be known among the Gentiles. How so? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John return. Hallelujah. That's how our seed will be known among the world. Hallelujah. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Hallelujah. So I get before the Lord and I say, Lord, you are not a man that you could lie. Look, this is what your word says, Lord, that you will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations, all the corners of the earth, Lord, your glory. Hallelujah. And I put him in remembrance of his word, because it says that in Isaiah. It says, put me in remembrance. It's the Lord speaking. Put me in remembrance. So I put him in remembrance. Lord, you said, this is what you said, Lord, that you will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. And I do Joel chapter 2 too. Lord, I remind him, you said all flesh, Lord. You said that you would pour out your spirit upon all flesh. All flesh. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. All right, let's turn to Luke chapter 13. Verse 29. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. So that's all those nations that we were talking about. They come from all directions and they sit down in the kingdom of God. And that is our ultimate goal. Is the Lord's family. He wants a family. He's building a kingdom, and that is soul saved. Hallelujah. All right, let's turn to Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So that's what we have to look forward to. The gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the works that Jesus did, shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations. And until that's done, Jesus isn't coming back. He comes back after that's done. So between now and when Jesus gets here, there is an outpouring. There is a revival. It is worldwide. And we are believing for 1 billion souls and no less. Because the Lord wants a family. He didn't do this for any other reason. He wanted someone to love. And he has poured out his love upon us. And we need to give our lives the same way that he gave his life for us. We need to lay our lives down just like he did. No greater love, does the Bible say. This gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, shall return. The works that Jesus did, we shall do also. And we need to believe that he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Why? Because God was with him. God is with us. Oh, hallelujah. But there's one thing, or there's a lot of things, but we need to be like Jesus. 1 John says that, 1 John chapter 2, let's turn to that. I have that written down. I didn't think I did. 1 John 2. One of you could get jiggy with your computer, and we could have the TV on behind us with these passages up there if you were quick with it. And some of you guys are techie, and there should be no reason why you can't have your laptop with you and quick get that up there so the rest of us, because I'm not an auditory learner. I'm a visual learner. So if I haven't seen it and you said it, you could have said it maybe even 10 times. That doesn't mean I heard it. And visual would really help me. And I think it would really help people at home too on the camera in case they missed it. See, if you're here at church, you lean over and you say, "Hey, Mom, where are we at?" But if you're at home and you missed it, I mean, I guess you rewind, but some of us are never at home watching it. We're always here, but I guess you would rewind. But it would be helpful if one of you guys got techie with a laptop and helped us with that. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked." So we're supposed to walk like Jesus. So let's turn to John chapter 14, verse 30, the Gospel of John. This is where we need to be. As disciples of Christ, we need to be able to say this exact same thing. "Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me." See, Jesus could say that. Satan comes, but he'll find nothing in me. See, recently the Lord has told us that there are assignments from certain devils that have come, division, infirmity, lukewarmness, have come with assignments. The easiest way to get by them is to be able to say what Jesus said. There's nothing in me. There's no handles. Remember Dave used to talk about that? There was handles. There's no handles. And because of the life of God in us, we can honestly say, there's nothing in me. We have that power We just have to start making the decisions, the quality decisions, not to do and to do. So let's turn to John chapter 5. And this is the other thing that Jesus did that we need to do in order to receive revival, in order to live the second book of Acts. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. So Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing, and he only said the words that he heard the Father speaking. And that's how he lived his life. That in the righteousness where Satan could find nothing in him. He had no handles. Nothing was in him. That's how he could be a walking revival. And that's how we would need to do also to be a walking revival. We need to get to a place where Satan has nothing in us. Because he can come with the assignments, but if there are no handles, there's nothing he can do. And we have to go about not doing our own will, but only his will. Whatever we see the Father doing, that's what we do. Whatever we hear him saying, that's what we say. Our words need to be pure. We need to guard our lips, put a guard over our mouth. And, you know, back in the old days, I think of Celebration of Discipline is a book I used to read. One of their, you know, the monks used to do it. You know, they used to not talk. It was a discipline because they just knew. And even the Bible says in Proverbs, a multitude of words, there's going to be some sin because you're talking too much. And that's a really good discipline, not opening your mouth. Unless the Word of God and you're prompted of the Holy Ghost, there's really nothing to be said. And I'm really proud of you guys, and I am really honored and privileged to be a part of this group. And we are going to be so happy one day. And it's not going to be on the other side. Because I do dream a lot and daydream a lot about the millennium. Because the millennium is the best of both worlds. You're going to be able to eat and have cool things. I mean, really. And but also a glorified body and no sin. So it's going to be this really cool place. And I do spend a lot of time imagining that and how awesome it's going to be. And we're going to know each other. And we're going to hang out. And we're going to be high-fiving all the time because this is awesome. And it's going to be great. But before that, before Jesus comes, we get to usher in this revival. And Mario Morello, and I wish I'd written this down, he said, you have to live every day like revival is today. But you also have to live your life like you're going to miss it. And I think that's one of the things that we don't do, is we just think that Dave and Pastor are going to do it for us. And we get to ride on their coattails. And we can't live like that. We have to live like we could miss it. And you do not want to be a spectator. And you think that you do. Your soul will tell you, oh, that'll be good enough. Just as long as you see the crowds, it'll be great. But you don't want to be a spectator. You're going to be, you want to be right in there. when you're laying your hands on that two-year-old that's never seen anyone, and the first face they see is you, I mean, isn't that worth laying your whole life down for? All that extra time that we've spent on the gallivanting and the vacations and TV and all the garbage that we know better, isn't it worth it? I mean, I know there was a time I really liked my bed a lot. You know, I liked to sleep, and it was hard to get up. But isn't it worth it? I mean, to be a minister, men call you ministers of your God. Men, heathens. When they get the diagnosis, they go, "What's that lady's name? What's that guy's name? How do I get a hold of them?" Because they're ministers of their God. They'll lay hands on me and I'll be healed. I know it because I've seen it. I've heard about it. You know, isn't it worth it? Isn't it worth laying our lives down? And I just encourage you guys, I'm right where you are, you're at. You know, I get it. The Bible says there's cares, deceitfulness of riches. I mean, the Lord didn't say that lightly. He didn't say that offhandedly, like, oh, deceitfulness of riches. Like, that's not a real thing. Of course it's a real thing. It chokes the word. It chokes the life on the inside. We can't let it happen. We got to remember what we're here for. And it helps to put these things in front of your eyes every day. Like I go through Isaiah 60 and 61. I go through that one Psalm 144 about the sheep and the thousands and the 10,000s in your streets and there's no complaining. I say that every day because I'm trying to renew the mind. Renew the mind. You offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. But then you want to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that only comes through the word. And putting that before your eyes every day. So I encourage you, get these scriptures, you know, see it over and over. And be encouraged. And that is all I'm going to say. You're out at 8:15. It stopped raining. So we can go home. Amen. It's still a little light outside. So thanks for coming and leave your offering in the offering basket on the way out and see you on Sunday.